Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, did you read the article on SI.com about Rob Manfred with the league is looking into limiting the use of relief pitchers? What do you think?
I thought that was nuts. And, you know, most of my Twitter feed seemed to think that as well. You know, is this guy watch baseball at all? It's such an integral part of the game, I think. You know, and he really likes to harp on pace of play, and wants to keep the game shorter, and I understand that. You know, and this is the argument that baseball will never want to hear, but the thing that makes games too long is the fact that they have commercials for so long in between innings. You know, and that's a sacred cow for obvious reasons, I think. But, that's the reason the games take 4 hours. It's not really the pitching changes and all that. I don't really like mid-inning pitching changes either, but I don't think you can force a team to not change their pitcher. It's crazy, and I think it overlooks, if you're concerned about the length of games, which, I'm quite happy to watch a 3.5-4 hour baseball game. I think baseball's great. But if you don't like that, the issue is all the commercial time in between innings.
Oh, definitely that. I also wondered when I first, before I finished the article, I was like, okay, I wonder if he was doing it to think that they need more offense, because if you had to start the inning knowing that, and I wonder then if they do that, are they going to limit the amount of pinch hitters? Right, because suddenly, if you know you've got a lefty on, now a guy suddenly is going to pinch hit because he knows they can't bring another righty in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it changes the game kind of dramatically, even though that's, people think of relief pitchers and that is a small part of the thing. But, I mean, the matchups at the end of the game, especially if you watch National League ball, it's a really, really big thing. And it seemed to me, and hopefully this is what it is that he was just sort of floating this idea to see what the reaction was, to see if it's an avenue that they could potentially pursue, and hopefully he's seen that the reaction is, oh, you're an idiot. Don't even think about doing something like that.
the Blue Jays, really no surprise, kind of manhandling Arizona in that game, in that very brief series. Now they got the travel day. They're home today. Orioles won again. It's going to be a great race, I think, all the way down the stretch. But Seattle comes in this weekend. What concerns you the most on Seattle's offense?
It'll be interesting to see Adam Lind back, even though he sort of is tangentially involved in the fact that the Mariners made that trade the other day, sending Mike Montgomery to the Cubs for Dan Vogelbach, who's a DH type who's going to take over for Adam Lind. So, but that should be interesting. It'll be interesting to me, more than maybe anything else in this ballgame or in this series, to see how the fans react to Adam Lind, who was a guy who was sort of kicked while he was on his way out the door a little bit from the Blue Jays when they got rid of a bunch of malcontents. And so they said, following the 2014 season, and the team, dramatically improved last year and looked a lot better without him, even though he was a guy that people were kind of unsure about the trade that they made when they brought over Michael Estrada, and that obviously has worked out spectacularly for the Jays. He's a guy that I'm interested in. I'm more concerned, I think, about the Mariners pitching, to be perfectly honest, than their hitting.
Well, obviously, Hernandez is somebody that is definitely dynamic. And speaking of pitching, Estrada will be on the mound. At least that's what it says today. He'll be on the mound tomorrow. And it's going to be something, I guess, they monitor all season long, is his back.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's a thing that it became an issue because he's been on the DL. And it's been something, for people to talk about. But he's had a back problem all year. We kind of laughed in spring training when they said that he was doing some sort of Bruce Lee martial arts move or something like that, that he tweaked his back then. But it cost him, he was on the DL at the start of the year, so it cost him a little bit at the start, and he's still going through it. I mean, I know people, John Morosi, the national sports writer for Fox Sports, and he works for MLB.com. He was talking about his concern about all the cortisone shots that Estrada had before the break, trying to make that last start. But to me, they don't tell you every time a guy has a cortisone shot, and we don't know how many he's had over the course of the year. But we do know that he was on the DL with his back problem at the start of the year, and he came out and he was fantastic in the first half. You can't say a bad word about the performance that Marco Estrada's had this year. And I don't think it's coincidental that he was on the DL over the All-Star break, where he was going to miss as little amount of time or as few starts as possible. While I think it is a concern and it's something we're probably going to have to keep talking about, you know, I'm pretty okay with Marco Estrada, and I'm not terribly worried because I think it's something that he's pitched through the entire year.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. Andrew, it's only, you know, it's only seven games. They're a little bit split up between the All-Star break, but Saunders in a little bit of a slump right now with only three hits in his last 23 at-bats. Teams maybe starting to pitch him different. Like, he was so red-hot that I think he had to grab teams' attention that now they're focusing on him a little bit more. Have you seen any different approaches for teams pitching him?
I haven't necessarily seen that, but I think you're right. That could be a thing. I just never, hadn't necessarily thought about it that way. But yeah, I mean, Saunders is a guy who, always believed in the talent. He's always a guy who looked like if he could stay on the field, he's going to be a productive ball player. And this year has been sort of leaps and bounds beyond what you would expect from him, even at his best. So naturally, I think that. You know, maybe a little bit of a regression towards the mean is in order for him. That doesn't mean that I think he's going to go back to being a pumpkin or something like that. But, I think he's entitled to have a little bit of a slump here and there. He's been so fantastic and so important to the Blue Jays this year, when especially at times when other guys have been slumping. And that's the beauty of this offense. You know, you're getting Jose Bautista back on Mondays when he's supposed to return. And, they've been playing so well without him. And you can add this other guy into the lineup who is an elite hitter. And so guys can go on a little bit of a slump, and the rest of the offense is going to carry them, and they're going to continue scoring runs.
What did you make of Lake filling in for Bautista, the few at-bats that he got? What did you think of him?
Yeah, I think he looked like a fifth outfielder, I think, a lot of times. He's maybe not very polished. We saw errors, and we saw some mental mistakes. But he's definitely a guy that I think fits exactly what we heard, especially in the spring and over last winter, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins were trying to do in terms of depth and in terms of finding guys who've been big league regulars who, at least who aren't just completely green, to be able to come in and provide some depth for the team when guys get injured. I think he's a perfect fit for that. I think he had some great at-bats. I think, I'm not going to give him a starting job or anything like that based on that, on the performance that he's had, but it's great when a team can have guys like that who aren't losing you ball games when they come in, that aren't complete black holes. I'm happy for Junior Lake, and I'll be happy to see him in Buffalo when Jose Bautista returns.
What do you make of Colabello now that he's back playing? Of course, it's in AAA, and he was struggling before, and there was some talk. I think, Andrew, you're the one who mentioned it. Even if he hadn't got suspended, he might have been sent down anyway. You think is there room for Colabello to come back, or are they going to have to wait till somebody gets injured?
I think they might have to wait until somebody gets injured. I mean, it's an interesting question because I know that a lot of the guys in the room, we heard, I think Kevin Pillar in particular was really adamant that he was in Colabello's corner, and they were all angry about the suspension when it happened. But this is kind of a long time ago. The team's clicking and things are going well. And if Bautista comes back and has to be the DH a little bit, which is probably going to happen simply because of the fact that, he's recovering from turf toe, and a lot to ask of him to, once he gets immediately healthy, be out there in right field a lot. That's going to limit the at-bats that Justin Smoke can have, because Edwin Encarnacion is going to be at first and Jose Bautista is going to be at DH, at least for a few games. That means, Chris Colabello, there's no place for him at all there if Justin Smoke can't get at-bats. And I think that's kind of the question that they're going to face for the next 6 weeks or so until the rosters expand in September. I expect we'll see Colabello at that point. But before then, I really don't see that there's a lot of room on the team for him, and I think he kind of has to prove himself as well. I think last year was a bit fluky. People point to the batting average on balls in play, which was, he led the league, and he led the league by quite a lot, which means, balls were just finding holes and not finding gloves. And not to take too much away from the season that he had, he showed great power, but he's a guy who doesn't walk a lot. He's a guy who strikes out too much. And he's a guy who is a career minor leaguer, I think, probably for a reason. And then he tests positive, and, whatever the circumstances are there. It's not easy to really believe in him as a guy who can put up the kind of numbers that he did last year. He doesn't necessarily have to be that good to be an effective big leaguer. But I think he's going to have to earn his way back on the team. And the fact that he can't help them in the playoffs because of the suspension means that he's not eligible for the playoffs makes it even harder, because what is even the point of integrating him into the team and finding him a spot when, October comes, he's gone anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make much sense, the fact that he can't be used in the playoffs. Now, looking at the playoff position, you got Ryan Goins and you got Devin Travis. Who do you like better, that when they're both healthy, as the second baseman? Is it obviously Travis?
I think it's obviously Travis. Yeah, I mean, Ryan Goins had a nice little season last year with the bat, especially. I mean, the glove, he's obviously fantastic. But I mean, I think Travis is just on another level as a hitter. You know, he has a lot more power. I think I think we saw last year some numbers that were maybe skewed by a small sample size, but really he showed for, you know, almost the entirety of the time that he was healthy last year, at least, that he can be a really dynamic hitter. And there's a reason why people are talking about putting him at the top of the lineup. And that's not something that anybody's ever going to say about Ryan Goins. And, you know, yeah, you lose a little bit with the glove, but I think Devin Travis has surprised a lot of people with how good he is at second base with the glove, and how, you know, he's worked on becoming better at that position. You know, he's not a liability at all out there. He makes some great plays and maybe doesn't have the range that Goins does. He doesn't have the arm, but you don't really need the arm the same way at second base as you do at shortstop. So, yeah, for me, it's Devin Travis. It's a slam dunk.
And what about the Yankees? Do you think they got a shot? Are they 7 or 6.5? I can't remember what it is now because they just swept Baltimore. Do you think the Yankees are still in the mix?
I don't want to think that they have a shot, but I mean, if you think back to last year and how far out the Blue Jays were, I mean, and there were other factors. People pointed to the run differential and the fact that the Jays were losing games that they probably shouldn't have been losing. And looked like one of the better teams in the league and had a truly elite offense. You know, the Yankees don't have all those sort of factors going for them, but the Jays were quite a far bit back of the leaders of the Yankees last year around this time. And you obviously couldn't count them out. They went on a crazy run and steamrolled the whole division and took it. So, I mean, I guess that could happen for the Yankees, theoretically. So I can't count them out. But, yeah, I mean, they were never a team that I was terribly worried about in the first place. And I think they're probably getting to the point where they realize that it's better for their future to accept that this year maybe isn't going to be their year and start looking to sell off some of their pieces and for once be sellers of the deadline and sort of reset for next season.
One last one for you, Andrew. Batista, you mentioned you think he'll come back and maybe just start at the DH, so Encarnacion obviously would go and play first base, I would assume, in those games anyway. What do you think, ultimately, when everybody's healthy, is the best lineup as far as batting order?
Devin Travis I like a lot. I guess he's kind of the most natural leadoff hitter that the Jays have, but it didn't bother me at all when Batista was hitting first, which was a thing before the injury. But yeah, I mean, if you go Travis and then Donaldson and Batista and Encarnacion, and I'm not sure why Troy Tulowitzki keeps hitting below Russell Martin at this point. You know, I think he's probably earned his way up in the lineup, but I would probably flip those two guys as well. But you know, you just can't go wrong with this lineup. There's so many strong hitters, so many great hitters, that you could pull their names out of a hat and you'd still score a lot of runs, I think, most nights.
Andrew, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll get you fired up next week. Hopefully Boston says something. I like it.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.